Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Sometimes you
tear down this wall.
Here's Johnny.
Hey, Luke. May the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
We're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
John's been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in 6 seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. It's in time, and the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs have done it.
And now, this is history.
You're gonna need outstanding hosts
with Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
Well, good morning to you, Mr. Dave Schwann.
Hey, good morning, and again to you, a happy anniversary.
Well, thank you.
It's amazing that 5 years does go by fast.
Yes,
it's a cliche to say things like that. But it's also true.
It's totally true. And
wow.
You know what? Dave is talking about not my my marital anniversary.
No.
It is my
anniversary here at WGN.
At WGN, yeah. Last Wednesday was pretty exciting. And I really didn't even realize it until the day before. But
And the response was tremendous.
Yeah, it was very cool. We posted it up on Facebook. And folks, if you haven't, please like the Dave Plyer Show Facebook page on Facebook. But yeah, great response, and thank you for your kind words as well. I actually started here back in 2004 as a guest on Dean Richards' show for almost 8 years, and I would do the WGN Morning News, and I did Spike's show, and I did...
I remember the day Dean was on location somewhere, and we had a technical malfunction.
Yeah.
That was an wardrobe malfunction. It was a technical malfunction.
Yeah.
And you got a call, and you were here in like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And that was our first time on the air together.
It was. It was. They called... it was previous program director was Bill White, and he called me at like 7:30 or something and woke me up, and he said, hey, his Dean show was on 7 to 11. He said, Dean's ISDN line or something quit. He goes, Dean wants you to, we want you to host the show, but Dean's going to be on the show.
Yeah. well, what do you mean?
On his phone. So it might be a little awkward, but we need you to get here before the 8 o'clock news. And I'm like, okay, I got a shower. And I remember he said,
no, can't say that word.
He said,
you cannot say that word.
Something your shower.
Yes.
It's radio. We'll put you upstairs in 7. No one will see you. And I'm like, okay.
Just so get in here.
I literally like put on some pants and drove down here. And we had a blast. It was a great show.
It was a good time.
It was a lot of fun.
It was a good time. And that's been the case ever since.
Well, you know, it was May 16th, and I was a co-host on Bill Left's Overnight Show, and did a bunch of special like co-hosting gigs with him. And then I was filling in for Dean and for Nick and some various slots. And then that next summer is when they really, when Jimmy and Todd got here, they had me filling in on a lot of shifts. I was doing a lot of Saturday and Sunday afternoons when the Cubs weren't playing, plus midnight to fives. And I did some 10:30 p.m.s to 5:30 a.m.s during that time frame, too, when the shifts were a lot longer. And then I got my gig. So, no, very grateful to be here on WGN. Very grateful to the people that allowed me the opportunity here on the airwaves. And that's that starts back to... Bill White and Tom Langmuir and Alex Quigley, and then today with Jimmy DeCastro and Jeff Hill and Todd Manley and Stephanie, and it's just been it's been a fun ride.
Yeah.
I've been enjoying it.
Yeah, it was good good to see Tom chiming in.
Yeah,
the other day.
It was nice. It was nice. Absolutely. Well, we've got a whole pile of
Let's
history
go.
For you today.
Let's go.
One of the things that's in our history theme was, which was the theme to our show. If you're just tuning in. Tomorrow marks the 25th anniversary of Johnny Carson's final Tonight Show. And so we kicked off the show right at 2 o'clock this morning with Doc Severinsen.
I have a VCR copy of that show somewhere in a box.
Me too. Yeah, me too.
That was a wonderful program.
It was.
And very emotional, very moving.
It was. For months, really.
For the people there and for people watching.
Yeah.
It really was.
So if you want to catch back up, Tom will have our podcast up sometime after 6, but it's Doc Severinsen, who's going to be 90 this July.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, yeah. We had
90?
Yep. We had Bill Zamy, who, huge biographer.
Right.
I love Bill.
Right.
And the only guy to interview Johnny from 92 to 2005 before he died. And, of course,
Gosh,
Jeff Sonson.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff, man. 1911, the first running of the Indianapolis 500. Indiana businessmen Carl Fisher, James Allison, Arthur Newby, and Frank Wheeler pooled their resources to build the Indianapolis Motor Speedway in 1909, opening it in 1911. A couple of fun facts here. Yankee Stadium, Churchill Downs, the Rose Bowl, the Roman Coliseum, and Vatican City can all fit inside the Indianapolis 500 Speedway.
It is a very, very large space.
Yeah, and then the Speedway is the world's largest with 250,000 seats, and if they laid the seat boards in the grandstands end to end, they would stretch 99.5 miles.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm. And last one, 1924, A.W. Caney of Chicago's WGN Radio. He worked for on air on WGN. A.W. Caney put the Indy 500 on the airways for the first time with live reports from the Speedway in 1924.
Boy, they did so much in 1924. You know what else WGN did in 24?
What's that?
It's the John Scopes trial.
Oh, that's right. That happened later in the year.
Talk about trailblazing broadcasting.
Yeah, he was right here.
And
like on the show.
And the technology.
I think the microphone's upstairs.
It is. I think it is. The Scopes Monkey
that
Trial microphone.
Monkey Trial microphone is upstairs.
Yeah. Hi, Roger. I didn't know you went.
He's hanging down here. There you go.
Okay.
1922, the Lincoln Memorial was dedicated. You know, obviously, those are trips you've made many, many times, Dave.
Yeah. Oh, the one in D.C.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And there's this great picture of Lincoln's son, Robert, his only surviving son into adulthood with the members of the committee that put that together. I think he died a year or two later, but that's an amazing
place. Think about that his son was present for that.
Yeah, his son. Yeah, and his own, and as I say, the only one of Lincoln's four sons that lived into adulthood.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. We are going this July. Josh is at a broadcasting journalism conference for a week, my son, at one of the colleges out there, and we're going to go for the weekend. My daughter's never been there. My wife's never been there.
Really?
So we're going to
gotta go.
Yeah, we're going to get a tour of the White House. We arranged that through Jan Schakowsky's office, and then and then we're going to go visit, you know, the mall and Smithsonian and some other cool things. So I'm excited.
There
about
are
that.
Things.
Make sure you go to the War Memorial.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that wasn't there when I was there. I haven't been there in a while. I would like to see the World War II Memorial.
Yeah, my grandfather's name should be on there too. I'm going to look for that. Yeah. 1922 also, Cubs swap Max Flack for the Cardinals Cliff Heathcote during the middle of a doubleheader, and therefore both played for both teams in
the same day.
Isn't that great? 1957, the National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences was established, leading to the creation of the Grammy Awards. 1958, on the third date of his English tour, Jerry Lee Lewis is booed off stage, having 2 days previously revealed that he was married to his 14-year-old cousin, Myra Lee Brown. You know, he's still performing on
stage.
Yeah,
he's still out there.
But that was quite a scandal.
Mm-hmm.
It would be quite a scandal today. He'd be in jail, actually, today.
I think he would be, yes.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a movie on this?
Yeah.
Great Balls of Fire?
I mean, 14 years old and his cousin. Yeah.
I don't know if it was a first cousin.
Yeah, was he a first? He was a first cousin?
I'm not sure. I think it was like not a first, maybe second or third, but
still. Well, still, my
14
goodness.
14 years old?
Yep.
Hello.
1959, Santa's Village in West Dundee opens 58 years ago. Of course, it's still open, and we're going to have Jason on the show in early June because it's still as fabulous as ever. 1961, President Kennedy announced his goal to reach the moon. Let's take a listen.
Since early in my term, our efforts in space have been under review. With the advice of the Vice President, who is Chairman of the National Space Council, We have examined where we are strong and where we are not, where we may succeed and where we may not. Now it is time to take longer strides, time for a great new American enterprise, time for this nation to take a clearly leading role in space achievement, which in many ways may hold the key to our future on Earth.
So JFK, by the way, would have been 100 on Memorial Day. So we're going to try to get Douglas Brinkley. Dave and I are filling in for Steve Cochran and Andrea Darlis on Memorial Day Monday. So that's the next time you'll hear me on the air with Dave. And we're planning a big show.
Another WGN tradition.
It is. 4 years in the making. That one alone. I'll have to post that on Wednesday. All right. 1967, Robert Evil Knievel's motorcycle jump. He jumps over 15 of automobiles. The over 433 broken bones he suffered during his career earned him an entry into the Guinness Book World Records as the survivor of the most broken bones in a lifetime. 433.
I got 432, so I missed it by one.
Miss it by one.
Yeah, right.
You know what that inspired to me? That inspired the Fonzie jumping over all the barrels.
Yeah.
You know? Let's take a little listen to this groundbreaking moment.
Before we get back to racing, I'd like to introduce to you a most unusual young man. This is Evel Knievel, and his specialty in sports is to take a motorcycle up over a ramp and leap through the air some 90 feet. That's what he's going to try to do today, over 15 automobiles. Now, have you ever done 15 before, Evel?
Bill, I never have. I missed a jump up in the northwestern part of the United States over 13, and I was hospitalized and laid up for nearly 5 months, and I sure hope that doesn't happen today.
Wow, how many cars were you attempting at that time?
13.
13, and you missed it?
That's right.
You're trying 15 today?
Well, the parachute's ready, the motorcycle's ready, and I'm ready, and I'm not going to miss today.
That's very cool. That's the legendary Evel Knievel. 1977, the original Star Wars movie is released. Can you believe that? This is a 40th anniversary today, yeah. Dave.
Is it 40 years? That's
yeah.
Right, it would be, yeah. Right, 1977.
Where did you see it? Do you remember?
I saw it. It's funny you should say that because my cousin, who I will be having dinner with later today, and I went to see that movie. She was visiting here. She wasn't living around here yet. And we went to see it at the River Oaks Shopping Center in Calumet City.
There you go.
We saw
it. They had a nice theater there at the time.
I bet they did.
They did.
Roger?
Eastland Mall. I believe it was the Eastland Mall in Las Vegas with Bridget.
In Vegas. Oh, because you were living out there
right,
at the time.
And we were waiting in a long line inside the mall.
Tom Hush, you were negative 30.
Negative 30?
No. What year were you born?
I was born in 1993.
Okay, so when did you see Star Wars for the first time?
So, believe it or not, I did see it in theaters because of the re-release.
Oh, they re-released it, and that's what you saw.
1997, I believe.
Okay, so the 20th anniversary.
Bingo.
Would be the 20th anniversary.
That makes sense.
Right.
That makes sense.
So that's when they added all the CGI and crap
that's
like
right.
That.
That's right. I went with my grandfather, and it might have been my sister, but I think it was just my grandfather, and we went to Gulf Mill.
Oh, yeah.
Gulf Mill Theater, and then I ended up seeing again that summer at the drive-in at by Pelwaukee Airport, the Twin on Milwaukee Avenue. Yeah. Classic
Another
movie.
Another classic movie, 40th anniversary.
What's that one?
Smokey and the Bandit.
No, this summer?
Yeah.
Really?
40th, and they're bringing it back into theaters. This weekend. Coming weekend? I think it was in, it's either in today and Tuesday or today and like Wednesday.
Wow.
Yeah, 40th anniversary of Smokey and the Bandit.
Wow, that's very cool. Yeah. Very cool. All right, here's another classic. In 1977, the Brady Bunch Variety Hour aired its last episode. Let's take a listen.
I'm Mike Brady. I'm the husband and the father and that sort of thing. Look, what I really am is an architect. And my family wanted this variety show. You know, it was their idea. I didn't want to do it. But, I love my family. So now, I'm an entertaining architect.
He's dying.
Oh, why can't I be dead? Yeah, why can't Jan be dead?
Would you just forget about Jan? Dad's the one who's dying.
Honey. I told you I didn't want to do this.
I know. It's going to be all right.
It's not like rehearsing in the kitchen, honey.
I know, but just wait.
It is like watching a car crash if you watch these online.
Just saying. How did it last so long?
It was only a summer, and I remember when they'd open these episodes that they would have, like, these swimmers come out and swim in a pool. I mean, It was horrible. They didn't rebuild the original sets. It was just corny and stupid, and it just didn't make it one of the incarnations here. On a more serious note, and I remember this as a kid because I was only about 11 or 12 years old, 1979, American Airlines DC-10 crashes on takeoff from Chicago, killing 273, including two on the ground. Do you remember covering this, guys?
I was working in Hammond at the time. Yes, okay. Indeed. And we got word it was late Friday afternoon that went down. And we had a reporter at the time who was a stringer who made it up here and was giving us somewhere found back then, 1979, no cell phone. So he found a payphone somewhere and was able to phone in some reports. That was terrible. Catastrophic.
I remember our priests showing up down there to help and help find bodies or bless them or do whatever last rites and whatnot. Were you here? Were you?
I was at 720 KDWN in Las Vegas, news director there when this happened, and so I was reporting on it. There. Using AP and UPI.
This might be WLS. I'm not quite sure, but it is WLS. Let's take a listen.
Right now, Flight 191, American Airlines, is just smoldering ruins. Rescue crews are seemingly unable to get very close to that wreckage. It departed O'Hare Field around 3:15 today. We still know nothing about why the plane crashed. We do know that it lost an engine, but of course that normally doesn't mean that the plane will crash.
That was somewhere on Tui, I think, over by Barnaby's, the pizza place.
And it went into, Dave, correct me if I'm wrong, it went into a mobile home park.
Was it Oasis, which used to be a drive-in?
Somewhere around there, yes. Yeah. I know it landed
or maybe
in a field.
The engine went into a mobile home park.
The engine did. Yeah, I think the plane itself actually landed onto a field is what happened.
Horrible.
One other thing I remember is that one of our other reporters at the station I was at, WJOB, got a hold of someone who was supposed to be on that flight from our area got a hold of the lady and interviewed her on the phone. And she was just very, very shaken by the whole thing.
Always those people, you know, happened in 9/11, too. I was supposed to be at
9/11,
work, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, you hear those stories all the time.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty tragic.
Yep.
2004, the World War II Memorial dedicated in Washington, as you both just mentioned, honors a 16 million. The more than 400,000 that died. So that was 2004. 2011, Oprah airs her last show, ending her 25-year run of The Oprah Winfrey Show when she started hosting in 1983 on WLS-TV's AM Chicago, and the rest is history. Let's take a little lesson.
Every single day I came down on our Harpo elevator, I would offer a prayer of gratitude for the delight and the privilege of doing this show. Gratitude is the single greatest treasure I will take with me from this experience, the opportunity to have done this work. To be embraced by all of you who watched is one of the greatest honors any human being could have. I've been asked many times during this farewell season, is ending the show bittersweet? Well, I say all sweet.
There you go. All right, Walter Jacobson coming up next.